I declare to you that the walls are coming down. The walls that have hidden my treasure and my blessing from you are coming down. The walls of division are coming down. The walls of separation are coming down. And when the walls come down, you will go forth and gather the spoil and gather the goods and go forth and claim your victory and possess your blessing. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Just like the walls of Jericho, when they fell down, Israel could go in and do what needed to be done. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for knocking the walls down. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Someone say, praise the Lord. Someone say, glory to God. That's the God we serve, isn't it? Amen. You may have your seats. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, worship team. I think the anointing on our worship team is increasing. But we had a slight technical difficulty, so I'm using this mic tonight. But we're glad that you're here this evening. You got ears to hear and a heart to understand. Because not only will I be speaking, but the Holy Spirit's going to be speaking too. Did you know that He has a voice? And we can listen to His voice? I want to say this too. You know, perpetual harvests are based upon perpetual sowing, right? What happens when a farmer stops sowing? The crop stops growing. Isn't that right? If you don't sow, nothing will grow. So I just encourage you to sow, give your tithes, bring your tithes and your offerings to the Lord, and He has a way of multiplying, so let's just pray over that. Father, we give you thanks and praise for the gifts that we bring to you. Our offerings and our tithes we present before you in the name of Jesus. And we call every giver and gift blessed by you, multiplied and increasing mightily in the name of Jesus. Amen. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. We're going to get right into it tonight, if that's all right. I want to finish up the works of the Holy Spirit tonight, and then next week we're going to start on the gifts. All right? So next week will be our extension to the class, because we had a lot of questions about it. So next week we'll talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I want you to look at verse 7, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 7. Notice what it says. It says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, I want you to notice that He says, He has a voice, He can speak. And He says, today, if you will hear His voice. You know, what day is important to hear God's voice? Every day. So you might as well start today. Notice, He said, if you will hear His voice. Did you know that not everybody hears His voice? There are people that don't know that God is speaking. You know, I find it interesting when the Israelites were before Mount Sinai and Moses got caught up to Mount Sinai, the Bible said that God was speaking, but the people heard thunder. Moses heard a voice, but the people heard thunder. So today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. You know, your heart affects your hearing. As it is in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Well, if you can't hear his voice, you're not going to know his ways. See, the Holy Spirit is God's network of communication to his church, to his body. Okay? And the Holy Spirit speaks. Go with me to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And we'll look at one here. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is a desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Now notice verse 29. The Spirit then what? The Spirit said to Philip. How many know God is interested in reaching the lost? And it's through the Holy Spirit's voice that he leads, guides, and directs us. He tells us where to go, what to do, what to say, and if necessary, he'll actually give you the words to speak. All right? But I just want you to see that he speaks. Okay? He has a voice. You have to learn to recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, he speaks to people in different ways. He knows exactly how to communicate with you. Okay? And it's our job to develop a relationship with him where we become so familiar with his voice, we can distinguish his voice above all other voices. You know, because there's a lot of voices in this world today, isn't there? So you got to listen to his voice. All right? And let's go to John 16. John 16. Another thing that the Holy Spirit does is he guides into all truth. How many has ever had a guided tour? You know, I visited the Schönbrunn Castle in Austria, and the tour guide was a very monotone woman. And you know, after you see 50 yellow rooms that look the same, it was called the Schönbrunn Castle because it was the Schönbrunn yellow that they used. And pretty soon, you know, the rooms kind of start to look to one another. And if you have a monotone guide, you know, it gets kind of boring. But the Holy Spirit, he is our guide. And in verse 13, John 16, 13, it says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into what? How much truth? All truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. All right? Listen, the Holy Spirit has been given to us to take us on a guided tour of all the blessings, of all the promises, and of all the goodness of God. And as we live this life, the Holy Spirit will point out things to us of significance and importance. Why? Because he knows everything. What a better way to learn all truth than the one who authored truth? What a better way to understand the Bible than the one who authored the Bible? Oh, you thought the men in the Bible wrote. No, they wrote what the Holy Spirit led them to write. Okay? But the Holy Spirit did the writing. So, notice, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Is he here? All right? He's already here. He's already come. Okay? As a matter of fact, he's been working in the earth ever since the earth was created. Okay? But now, the difference is, he's working in believers. Those who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, he is working in you. He is living in you. He's dwelling in you. Okay? He'll guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. If you ask the Holy Spirit about how he feels, he's not going to tell you how he feels. He's not going to tell you anything necessarily about him, but he's going to tell you about Jesus. He won't speak of himself. Okay? That's what the Bible says. He shall not speak of himself. Okay? But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. This happened in my life one time. I was in a meeting. It was called Pioneers for Christ. It was a college spiritual life club that they had at Lee. And there was about maybe 20 people there. I was sitting on the front row, my very first meeting of this group. And I'm sitting on the front row, and I knew that I knew that I knew that I was going to become president of that group. This is the first meeting. I'm just meeting the people. But what was God doing? God was showing me things to come. And sure enough, next semester I got elected vice president. The semester after that, guess what? I became president of that group. And what God was showing me was true. Why does God show you things to come? Because he wants you to prepare your heart. The reason God shows us anything is he's giving us an opportunity to prepare. How many know that God is into preparation? Preparation time is never lost time. How many years did Jesus prepare for a 3-year ministry? 30 years. How did he prepare? He was obedient. He did what his parents said. He did what the law said. He was obedient for 30 years, for 3.5-year ministry. Wow. So the Holy Spirit's going to show you things to come because he wants you to prepare. He wants you to pray. He wants you to get a glimpse. He'll never show you the whole picture. He'll only show you a step or a phase or the next area. He'll never show you the whole thing because most of us wouldn't be able to handle the whole thing. Right? Okay, verse 14. He shall glorify me. The Holy Spirit always praises Jesus. He will never speak bad about Jesus. He will never speak negative about Jesus. He will never disagree with Jesus. Okay? For he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. The things that God promised to you, God communicates to us through his Holy Spirit. He takes what is Jesus and he shows it to us. Why? Because what's Jesus is what is ours. We're joint heirs with him, aren't we? So what he gets, we get. Okay? Verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. All right? So he's a demonstrator. He's a presenter. He's a communicator. He's a teacher. He's a guide. He's a helper. He's a strengthener. He's a comforter. Are you getting a glimpse of what the Holy Spirit does and how he works? Okay? Go to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Verse 27. This is how he leads, guides, and directs us. Okay? Acts 15, verse 27. We have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, you shall do well, fare you well. So it seemed good to the Holy Ghost in us. Can you see a partnership there? How many know that when you're faced with a major decision in life, what direction should you go? Which way should you choose? You should always consult the greatest teacher that you have within you, the Holy Spirit. Okay? It seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. Now, maybe when you're making a decision, maybe the Holy Ghost, that decision doesn't seem good. Should you make that decision? No, because he brings you into how much truth? All truth. So when the Holy Spirit is leading you not to do something, there's a reason. All right? You just have to follow him. Okay? Go to Acts 16, verse 6. Notice, this is when the Holy Spirit said no. Okay? Now, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Well, I thought the Holy Ghost was into preaching the word. Yeah, but he knows where you will best be. He knows where you'll be most effective. Okay? Well, how come I can't go to Asia? It doesn't matter. Just listen to the Holy Spirit. He forbade them to preach in Asia. After, verse 7, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Isn't it interesting how they were prevented to go here, but there was a place for them. The best place that you could be is where the Holy Ghost said be, is where the Holy Ghost leads you to be. All right? Because after all, there's reasons that we don't always know or understand, but we just got to trust his decisions, okay? And, you could choose not to trust his decisions, but that's going to be a lot harder to hear his voice then, all right? Okay. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Did you know the Holy Spirit gives you access? Did you know the Holy Spirit has the ability to give you backstage passes? He can get you into places that you wouldn't normally get into. Why? Because he's someone that grants access. He's an access granter. Okay? Ephesians 2:18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Woo! Did you know that the Holy Spirit gives you access to the Father? And guess what? He knows all the codes. He knows all the secret things of God. He knows all the treasures of God. And the reason he gives you access to God is because he wants you having the treasures, the blessings, the good things. He grants us access by one Spirit to the Father. He's an access granter. The Holy Spirit can get you into places that man can't get you in. You know, God told Paul, he said, you're going to preach the gospel before kings, before Gentiles, and before the Jews. Right? And there was a reason why God told Paul the Jews last, because the Jews gave him the most of the problems. The most of the problems that Paul had in his ministry came from the Jews. Remember, if you read Acts, Paul said, he got to the point where he said, I'm not going to go to the Jews anymore. I'm going to the Gentiles. Well, that's what God originally said, wasn't it? Maybe if Paul would have listened to what God said in the beginning, he would have had less trouble. I don't know. But do you know that God says things the way he does for a reason? God puts things in order for a reason. And we just have to follow his order. Don't try to change up God's order. If God gives you a list of five things, you will not get to number four unless you've done number three. You will not get to number three unless you've done number two. You will not do number two unless you get to number one. Why? God's a God of order. He does things in order for a reason. So he gives us access to him. Okay? Go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And I know that this was before the Holy Spirit was poured out, but this is a good demonstration of how the Holy Spirit leads, guides, and directs us. Okay? Because I want you to be led by the Lord. You know, the answer to 1,001 questions is be led by the Lord. Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Did you know that you have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit in order for him to lead you? If the Holy Spirit's leading, that means you're not. If you've been trying to lead the Holy Spirit, you better switch places. Because you're not going to get to where you need to be. The Holy Spirit's a leader, and we're supposed to be the followers. All right? Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Everybody say, the Holy Ghost was upon him. Okay? Now, when the Holy Ghost is upon you, you are able to be led by him. Okay? Now, notice, listen, the Holy Spirit doesn't control you like a puppet. Okay? There's no strings attached. The Holy Spirit leads you by relationship. The Holy Spirit will never force you to do anything. He'll give you opportunities. And then you have to choose to do what he wants you to do. You can still choose to do your own thing. But you'll see how ineffective doing your own thing is. Okay? Now, so the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon, right? It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, before he saw Jesus, okay? So Simeon had a promise. It was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost, he's not going to die until he sees the Lord, okay? So until Simeon sees the Lord, he's not going to die. Amen? Okay? So he has this promise, and he has the Holy Spirit on him. And verse 27, he came by the Spirit unto the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law. So how did this work? The Holy Spirit's on Simeon. And Simeon, maybe he heard a voice, maybe he had an impression, but he just knew he had to be in the temple at this time. The Holy Spirit's leading him. So the Holy Spirit can fulfill God's promise. The Holy Spirit will always lead you to the Word. He'll always lead you to Jesus. Okay? So, he came by the Spirit into the temple at the same time that Jesus' parents were bringing Jesus. Verse 28, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled in those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. So isn't that a beautiful story? Simeon, he's in tune with God. How do we know he's in tune with God? Because the Spirit is on him. The Spirit wouldn't be on a liar, a backbiter, a deceiver. No, he doesn't work like that. He's the Spirit of truth. Okay? And he leads Simeon to the temple at the right time, on the right day, in the right place, so that he can see Jesus, so that he can go on, so that he can go to heaven. I just want you to see that's a beautiful picture of how the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us and directs us. And go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Can you see how the Holy Spirit was concerned about Simeon's life? He was concerned about the details of his life. And you know what? God's concerned about you. And when you have an impression, a leading, a vision, a voice, there's all kinds of ways that God can lead you. He's not limited to just one way. Okay? Follow the leading. It may not be logical, but the reason God is leading you is because he's got a blessing attached with the instruction. So if you follow the instruction, you get the blessing. If you don't follow the instruction, you don't get the blessing. Plain and simple. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 12. I'll get there in just a second. God has revealed, okay, did you know that God has things prepared for you? God has things prepared for you before you were born. He has good works that he prepared you to do before you were born. So how are you going to get to the good work? How are you going to connect with the purpose and the plan of God? You're going to do it through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like the shark bite in plumbing. You know, those shark bites, they connect pipes together. Well, the Holy Spirit, he's a connector. He'll connect you to God. He'll connect you to God's plan. He'll connect you to God's purpose. God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. Now, if you ever want to get excited, that's a good verse to get excited about. I'm going to read it again. The Spirit which is of God, he gave us his Spirit, God's Spirit, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Say, God's freely given me some things. Well, in order for you to connect with those things, it is through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, his teaching, his guidance, his leading. You've got to be able to know how to be led by the Holy Spirit. That is so important. Okay? Did you know that the Holy Spirit reveals men's hearts? When Jesus was walking the earth, there were many times when people thought things in their mind, and they never spoke them out, but he knew what they were thinking. And so the Holy Spirit has the ability also to read men's hearts. He knows what's in your heart. Okay? You can just write down Mark chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. Jesus perceived in himself by the Holy Spirit the thoughts that men reasoned in their minds or hearts about. So he knows what's in your heart. Okay? That just means you can't hide. Go to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, he detests lying. He hates it. Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. We know the story. Ananias and Sapphira, they conspired together. They had a piece of property. And they told the church, they said, we're going to sell this property and we're going to give the whole amount to the church. Okay? And that's all fine and good. But they decided to keep back a portion of it, but to still stick with the story of giving the whole thing. Okay? Now look at Peter's response here in verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own power? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but unto God. No one would have known that this was a lie except for Ananias, Sapphira, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, he exposed this lie because he could not allow this infection to get into the church. And you may say, well, that's pretty harsh. Well, so is lying. There's no such thing as a white lie. If you're tempted to tell a white lie, just know that that lie is black. I don't care what color you call it. A lie is black. It's a white lie. As if you're trying to cover up the skunk with a bouquet of roses. Okay? Notice Peter said you lied to the Holy. Satan put it in his heart. Satan can't get one over God. Satan can't outsmart God. Satan thought he could lie and get away with it, but he's wrong. The Holy Spirit exposed it right then, right there. He knew who the source of the lie was. It was Satan. He's the father of lies, isn't he? So the Holy Spirit detests lying. So it's better just to be truthful. Now, I know the truth may hurt sometimes. Now, you could be truthful without being rude. Okay? All right. He's the Holy Spirit of truth. Did you know that Jesus cast out evil spirits by the Spirit? Just write this down. Matthew 12, 25 to 30. Jesus said, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, who do you cast them out? He was talking to the Pharisees. Of course, they didn't cast demons out. But it is the work of the Holy Spirit as well to cast out devils. I want you to go to No, we'll just go on. Go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. We're living in a day and an hour that we had better cooperate with the Holy Spirit more than ever. Because only through the Holy Spirit are you going to confront evil and win. Only through the Holy Spirit are you going to be in the right place at the right time to receive the blessing that you were destined to have. Only by following the Holy Spirit are you going to connect with God in the way that you need to be connected with. Okay? John 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickens. The Holy Spirit gives life. He's a life giver. The flesh profits nothing. Let's say that. Say, the flesh profits nothing. Say, the Spirit gives life. Okay? And then Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The reason that God's words are spirit is because when they're spoken, it has a way of getting straight to the heart of the matter. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to pierce to the dividing asunder between joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. The Holy Spirit, the word of God, it can penetrate a person's heart because his words are life. And when he speaks, life happens. He really is the life of the party. If you want to have a good party, there's no better party than a Holy Ghost party. Okay? Go to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. No person chooses where to go and what to do for God unless they're led by the Holy Spirit. There are some people who were sent, and then there were others who just went. Right? But they were not sent, they just went. How can you tell if one was sent or one just went? Do they have the determination to stick it out? If they just went, they're not going to stay around long. But if they were sent, they're going to be there, and they're going to withstand storms, they're going to withstand tests, and they're going to be there when the smoke settles. You can know that I was sent. I didn't just went. We were sent, amen? Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. I want you to notice here, Saul was called, he was either a prophet or a teacher here, wasn't he? Okay? And verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. Notice, they were already called, but there came a time of separation to the call. Okay? And the Holy Spirit was orchestrating this. They were ministering to the Lord. They were praising him. They were focusing on him. And in the midst of ministering to the Lord, the Holy Spirit just began to speak. And he began to give instructions for Barnabas and Saul. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away, all orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. So the Holy Spirit is involved in commissioning and sending people to do God's work. You must be authorized by the Holy Spirit to go and do a work for God. If you want his power, you must have his commission. Okay? So go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm just giving you many things of what the Holy Spirit does and how he works. And let's go to verses 16. This is also a prayer that you could pray for yourself. The Holy Spirit is a strengthener. He imparts divine strength to you. Verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Holy Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of God which passes knowledge. But I want you to notice that he strengthens you where? Where does he strengthen you? Huh? In the inner man, on the inside. Did you know that God's strength comes from within? Now, Samson, he was the original strong man. And the Holy Spirit would come upon him, and he would do great feats of strength. And if you read Isaiah 11, one of the qualities of the Holy Spirit is the spirit of might. He's a strengthener. And when you need strength, he will infuse you with God's strength in your inner man. How many's ever gotten an IV? They stick an IV in your arm, but it goes in your body. And the bag, whatever's in the bag, whatever medicine or saline solution, it goes into you and it nourishes you. It helps you with pain. And the same way that the IV goes into our arm is the same way that the Holy Spirit strengthens our inner man. He strengthens us in the inner man. Okay? So he's a strengthener. Go to Romans 8. Romans 8. Now everyone will jump up and down over this one. Did you know that the Holy Spirit will help kill fleshly tendencies? Woohoo! Yeah, praise the Lord. Now, if you react that way, I know that you're not reacting in the flesh. I'll tell you that. Your flesh is like, ah! Romans 8:13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Many times, it is our flesh that is our worst enemy. Many times, our worst enemy is not the devil. Why isn't the devil our worst enemy? How can he be your worst enemy when he's defeated? But now our flesh is not defeated. Every one of us have to deal with our flesh every day. And the devil will try to draw you into the flesh. That's his arena until he gets his retirement. But he will operate in the realm of the flesh. If he can get you out of the spirit and into the flesh, then he's won that battle. He didn't win the war, but he won that battle. Okay? Why do you think when Jesus walked this earth, why do you think that the scribes, the Pharisees, and the lawyers were asking him questions to try to trip him up? They were trying to get him into the flesh. They tried to get him to respond out of the flesh, but he wouldn't. He was steady spirit, man. He was always in the spirit. He was, because he had the spirit without measure. But notice it's through the spirit that we mortify the deeds of the flesh. God doesn't want to embalm your flesh. He wants to mortify your flesh. We want to preserve our flesh as long as we can, as much as we can, with whatever we can. Little here, little there. You know, everybody's trying to preserve their flesh. Well, just mortify the flesh through the Spirit. He'll help you. He wants you to live in the Spirit more than anybody else. Did you know that go to Romans chapter 8 there, verse 26. He'll help you in prayer. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. That word infirmities there is weakness. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit should be himself, not itself. He's not an it. The Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he searches the hearts, knowing what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So when you don't know what to pray for as you ought, if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you could pray in tongues. He will hook up with you. He will pray out God's perfect will, and you don't even have to know what you're praying about, but the prayer will get done because he'll help you in your infirmities, in your weakness. Amen? The Holy Spirit may wake you up at 2 o'clock in the morning and say, pray for John missionary in China. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what he's dealing with. So you can pray in the Holy Ghost and you'll pray out God's perfect will. Isn't that awesome how God made that? There's no distance in the Spirit. Did you know that the Spirit transports people? Go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. The Holy Spirit has a transportation system. Acts chapter 8, verse 39. This is talking about Philip here. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing, but Philip was found in Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Isn't that awesome? That was about 20 or 30 miles away from where he was. And the Holy Spirit just came, took him, transported him to where he needed to be. He just bypassed all the traffic. You know, well, how come that's never happened to me? Well, listen, it's in the Bible. You just believe in it, okay? And when God needs to transport you, know that he can. If you read Ezekiel, he said, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out into where? The valley of bones. The Spirit of God has a way of transporting people when he needs to. God is not limited. Amen? Now, we just haven't gotten to everyone, but those are many ways that the Holy Spirit is working right now in the earth. He is working, and he will be working until Jesus comes, and he wants to work in you. The question is not whether he wants to work in you, but the question is, will you cooperate with him? When he puts on your heart to adjust your attitude, will you adjust your attitude? That's the question. If you want the Holy Spirit's work to increase in your life, then cooperate with him. Jesus said this. He said, you'll be forgiven if you blaspheme me. But he said, you won't be forgiven if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost. You can speak any word against me and it'll be forgiven you, but don't speak against the Holy Ghost. He's working right now in our lives. He's working tonight in this service. He's working in the hearts of people. He's come to partner with you and to show you the kingdom of God. He's come to help you fulfill your purpose. He wants God's will done on earth just like it is in heaven, and he is what we need to help us accomplish that. Aren't you glad that we have the Holy Spirit? Listen, if you can, listen to these messages and become more familiar with the things that he does. And there's many more, obviously. This is not a conclusive list. So, what do you need the Holy Spirit to do in you tonight? All right? We're going to take some questions, and then if you want prayer, we're going to pray. Any questions about, yes? Yes. You can fill yourself with the Word of God. You can make any preparations that are necessary physically. Like, for example, when God showed me that the step that I was supposed to take in my life was to go to Bible school, okay? Well, Bible school requires some steps. You got to send in the application. You got to, get ready. And so there were steps to take. And I was praying, and the Lord, after a time of prayer, the Lord just dropped it into my heart. He just said, Rhema, just like click, clunk, you put the coin in. So, okay, now what do I do with that word now? Then I'm praying, I'm studying, I'm getting information, I'm telling the people that are around me, preparing them, and it was quite the preparation, I had an intense discussion with my mom while we were in New Zealand. I went to New Zealand the month of July, and school was starting in August. And I told my mom, I said, Mom, what do you think about this? Because they wanted me to go to college. She said, well, you're not leaving the country, and if this is what you want to do, okay. And it was a really good conversation. But so when God speaks to you, okay, he's always going to speak through his word, so get rooted and grounded in the word, pray, and just get into a position of ready to move whenever the Holy Spirit says move. Okay? Does that help you? All right, great question. Yeah. The question was, what kind of preparations can we take when God shows us things to come? Any other questions? Yes. Good.
Can you just talk about how we need to be led by God?
Yes. How do we need to be led by God? Okay? In order to be led by God, in choosing a church, okay? You hear a lot of people, well, I like the preaching, or I like the worship, or I like the seats, but that's not how we choose a church. God plants people in places where he wants them to be, okay? So we have to let the Holy Spirit lead and guide and direct us, and he doesn't always use external circumstances. Okay, for another example, Jesus said to his disciples, it's necessary that I go to Samaria. Now, the disciples weren't too excited about going to Samaria. You could read about it, John 4, and their reaction. But Jesus knew that he had to go there. So his disciples went somewhere else. He was there at a well. And lo and behold, when he's in the right place at the right time, this woman came. And this woman gave her heart to the Lord, but then she also led half the town to come out and hear him for themselves. So that was a great example of being led by the Holy Spirit. When Cornelius sent men to get Peter, and Peter was on the rooftop, the Holy Spirit said, there's men that are looking for you. Go with them. Ask no questions. Okay? And Peter didn't know what he was going into, but he knew the voice of the Spirit. And so he was following the Spirit, and any endeavor that we need to be involved in life, the Holy Spirit needs to lead, guide, and direct us. He'll direct you for financial increase. He'll connect you with right people to help you fulfill your purpose. I mean, I knew nobody. 14 years ago, I knew nobody in Palmyra. I had driven through Palmyra once, and Fiona and I, we were with my parents. We had visited Hershey Park, and we got lost. That was before I had a GPS. And we're driving around, and we're saying, you know what? This would be a great place. This is a nice place to live. Lo and behold, here we are. You know, sometimes people are led by the Holy Spirit, and they don't know it, because they just have a right heart to follow God. You know, if you want to be led, you got to have a right heart, you got to have a willing heart, and you got to have an obedient heart, and you got to do what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. Does that help you? She's got a couple more, and then we'll get to you. Yeah.
Do you know what that scripture in Isaiah is about strengthening? You said there was something about the Holy Spirit being a strengthener.
Yes. It's the spirit of might. It's Isaiah 11, where he talks about there will be a stem of Jesse that come. It'll be the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might. It's the part of the sevenfold spirit. All right? Good questions.
Is when you have a dream, is that part of the Holy Spirit?
Yes, the Holy Spirit can work through dreams. He can work through visions. He can speak audibly. He can impress your heart. He can create a situation that seems good to you and him. So there's many, many ways that he can lead and guide, direct you. Good question. Any other questions?
Why doesn't God like it when we blaspheme the Holy Ghost?
Well, because the Holy Ghost is God's Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. And he doesn't speak about himself. So when someone speaks bad about the Holy Spirit, you have to have a pretty bad heart. It's not just saying negative things about the Holy Spirit, but it's really a not wanting to do anything with God. It's a very serious matter. And he just does not take speaking bad about the Holy Spirit. Does that answer your question? Good. Good question. Any other questions? See, and here's the thing, too. You guys have heard this information. Now, you got to take this information and you got to operate it in your life. In other words, when you leave this door here, the information that you got was not just for you. But the information that you got is to equip you to minister to people out there. If you read, I mean, the Holy Spirit, he led people in everyday life circumstances. In the marketplace, at the temple, in people's houses. See, so the people who have been involved with this, you guys got to take it out there. Take it to your families. And, you know, you're not going to win a popularity contest in the world. But you will get a popularity contest in heaven for following the Holy Ghost. I mean, we are living in dark, dark days. And if there was ever a time when the body of Christ needed to start listening to the Holy Spirit, it is now. If we're going to reap this harvest, all of us together make up God's net. And the ultimate, the reason that God is equipping us is to minister to people. It's not just about what we experience in these four walls. Although what we experience in these four walls is good, but it's not just for this, it's for out there. Take what you're getting here and share it out there. All right, one more question. Anybody have one more question? Okay. Now, I believe in my heart that there are some people here tonight that need prayer. And we have the power of the Holy Spirit. He's working. You heard words, and he takes those words, and he touches hearts, and he draws people to God. God is drawing some people to him tonight. It doesn't mean that you've been walking away from him. Okay? That's not what I'm saying, but he's calling you to a deeper walk, a greater intimacy, to be more responsible. The more you know, the more is required of you. The more you're given, the more is required of you. And God is looking for some people that will embrace a deeper call, and they'll make themselves available to God whenever, however, for whatever. And if that's you tonight, I want you to